season together, we always need one or two operas that are highly appealing and easily cast. Now, Traviata is one of those that is highly appealing and reasonably easily cast, but Turandot's another matter. So in choosing Turandot, we needed to be absolutely sure that we had a really first-rate Turandot to sing the title role and a great Calaf. And I think we have that in the two singers we have now in this season. And I think that San Diego audiences are in for a very big surprise, because these are singers they don't know, but singers I think they will long to hear again. Turandot is actually a surprisingly simple story. It's a game show, fundamentally. Turandot has three riddles that she requires any man who wants to marry her to ask. And if he can answer the three riddles, she will marry him. If he can't answer the riddles, he will lose his head. And over the years, many men have tried, all have failed, but along comes Calaf, who is big and brave and strong and handsome, and he challenges for the riddles, even though a slave girl, Yu, and his father, Timur, say that he shouldn't do it. But he does. He wins at the hand of Turandot by answering the riddles, but then he gives her a way out. He says to her, if you can guess my name by morning, all bets are off, the marriage is over, and you can kill me. So Turandot immediately tries to find out the name of Calaf, and this results in the unfortunate death of Yu, who kills herself, rather than reveal the name, but Calaf more or less jumps over the body into the arms of Turandot. They have a great love duet, and everything finishes happily ever after, except for poor Yu. Obviously, when I turn to Puccini, I think of Eduardo Muller. And when I think of Turandot, I think of our wonderful friend Lotfi Mansouri. He created the production for us last time. He loves this opera very much. He adores working with Eduardo. So to have a team like this working together with the same goal in mind makes for a very happy occasion.
The first time I conducted in America, and it was in this theater 23 or 24 years ago, 23 or 24 years ago, it was with Lotfi. And since then, we did other things, even in other theaters. You realize he knows perfectly the opera. You realize that he knows what to ask. He doesn't go in strange ways. He goes straight to what he needs, and everybody understands what he needs. And sometimes we discuss how to do this and how to do that. But that is exactly what we should do. Because, as I always say, opera is done by a conductor, by a director, by the singers, by the orchestra, by the chorus. And the great cooperation is important. Otherwise, if there are enemies in art, the result is bad.
Not angry, convinced. No. Minus son mara.
Turandot is, for a stage director, it's wonderful, because you have the whole gamut. You have everything. I always say it's a fairy tale for the grown-ups. And you have, of course, the hero, Calaf, and you have Turandot, this fascinating, icy princess who's really not icy. She has just been protected very much. And then you have these fantastic characters, what we call the three masks, which is a wonderful combination between the kind of the commedia dell'arte, Gozzi, of course, who wrote the play. He used this kind of elements of the commedia dell'arte, and then you've got, of course, the mask, the Chinese opera. So to find the right balance between this kind of the Italian coin dell'arte and the formality of the Chinese opera, it's wonderful for a stage director.
Because I was just saying, when you said non guardarmi, because he should be really smiling at you.
I'm a great fan of David Hockney, and we had, when I was general director of the San Francisco Opera, we had a couple of his productions. We had his Magic Flute, which was quite beautiful, and one of his best was the Rex Progress, which is very original and wonderful. And so I always wanted him to do more productions, and I felt the Turandot was a perfect vehicle for him because of the fantasy and the China and the colors and all that. So we had a chat, and then we worked it together. I would fly down to his studio in the Hollywood Hills, and he has this fantastic studio where he built the model of Turandot large scale, and actually he even has lighting equipment. We even lit it. It was fabulous. So it was great, and he's absolutely a dear person.
It's also ephemeral, you know. I mean, a painting, of course, isn't. They last, or they last quite long. But I mean, an opera is a performance. It's what, 2.5 hours, 3 hours, this, and that's it, really. One spent a lot of time working it out for something. It is, the theatre is by its nature ephemeral, you know, I mean, whereas, as I say, the other things I do are a lot less that way. I mean, but it's always exciting, and I love the music. I mean, I love working with music, so that was for me the main thing, yeah. I mean, it's not commercial theatre in any way, this. You can't commercialise it, you know. Meaning you're not really going to get paid that much. And on the other hand, the quality of the music is simply better than you can get anywhere else, really. Yeah.
When Liu subjects herself to the torture and says that I will not reveal his name, Turandot asks her, what gives you the force? And then Liu very sweetly and very simply says, love. And Turandot responds, love? Like all of a sudden, the clouds lift, and all of a sudden she becomes aware of human emotions. Anna does that, and then in the final duet, which is done by Alfano, she does become a human being, and she becomes very vulnerable and very sweet, and then you understand why Carla falls in love with her. But it is a challenge for Turandot.
Love also always transform from any kind of person a good human being, which we have in each person inside. And she was trying to hide it. And when finally she was confused with her attitude to all of the world, and especially for men, it was a great tragedy. Mentally tragedy for her, and finally, when she discovered that a man, it's also a human being, and you can love him. It's just a amazing moment. Amazing moment. She became she was a human being, but I mean, too much protection, too much masks, too much shadows over her. And finally, she's dropped all this makeup stuff, and she become a real woman, and it's an amazing moment. It's fantastic, and I hope we will, the audience will enjoy this moment, as I am enjoying to do this part.
Tell us about your favorite moment in the opera.
In opera, what's my favorite moment?
In this opera.
A kiss.
Well, but you should say, my favorite moment in the
opera. Okay, I'm sorry again.
Because they won't hear me.
My favorite moment in the opera, exactly, it's a kiss with Calaf. But as a vocalist, my favorite moment is in Questa Regia. It's a very powerful aria.
Calaf is one of those characters who must be very rugged, very handsome. We have a tenor here who looks perfect in the role, and he sings the role very heroically, which is what the score demands.
Es bastante difícil para mí, porque no tiene nada que ver con mi personalidad. Yo, como persona, jamás me enamoraría de una mujer tan cruel como Turandot.
It's very difficult for me because it has nothing to do with my own reality. I could never fall in love with a woman as cruel and evil as Turandot.
Al contrario, trataría de eliminarla, de matarla.
On the contrary, I would try to eliminate her or kill her.
En ese momento tengo que pasar al 100% al personaje de Puccini.
In that moment I have to become 100% the character that Puccini created.
Y hacer creer al público que realmente, a pesar de todo, yo me puedo enamorar de ella.
And make it believable for the audience that in the end I can actually fall in love with her.
Pero es parte de nuestro trabajo.
But that's part of the job.
Toda la ópera me gusta, toda la ópera, desde la primera nota hasta la última, las canto con emoción y siempre con la ilusión de hacer siempre una mejor performance que la que dejé atrás.
I enjoy singing Puccini from the first note to the last, and I always look forward to singing Puccini.
He's a 15-year-old slave. According to Chinese history, or the book I read before, is when the girl becoming slave entered the palace, they were like no family anymore. She will never see her parents and her family. She just will stay in the palace and work whatever she's supposed to do. In this story, she is serving for the king. And she's a very pure, very simple little girl. Turandot was trying to find out Calaf's name, and they find out only the people who know Calaf's name are the king, the old king, and the slave. For the loyalty and for her good heart, she wants to protect the old king, so she wants to sacrifice herself. She thought if she give her own life, she will save the not only the old king and save the Calaf. Then she won the Turandot's heart, and which worked. So that's why she suicided herself in front of everybody, and to close her mouth up, not to say words of Calaf's name.
Not very old, the former king of Tartar lost after the unfortunate battle everything in his life. He lost a family, and he lost the power of the country, and also getting blind. He doesn't see anymore, and he became strangers with the Liu. And I think the Virginia the place where they can find food and some hospitality from the people, and they are meeting the son that Timur also thought that he lost him, that son is dead. So that's a not very big role, but because of His Majesty, he's still a king, even in this such situation. So the he has no aria, but each phrase, each sentence that he pronounces and sings is so important that it seems to be like an aria. And it's the most difficult thing in this role, because it's broken for the very small parts, and the every small part has to be sung as at the aria. Vocally, Puccini is so different from others, even from the Mascagni. It's completely own way of the rhythm. It's Puccini's music.
And then, of course, you've got the chorus. It's a chorus opera. The whole first act really belongs to the chorus, and so does the last act. And it's wonderful to do that, because they're one time they're brutal and savage, another time they're very sympathetic and warm. And so that you're playing with the entire range of emotions in this, which is great for a director.
Trying to do is to find a good balance between something very delicate, very refined fairy tale, not for children but for adults, and romantic love. That's what Puccini intended to do. Romantic love, but without exaggerating the sweetness, the so much honey that there is in this opera. Otherwise, we can go a little toward the kitsch, toward Hollywood. Very serious, very serious, very refined music. And we must know that Puccini was very much interested in what other great composers were doing in the same time. Unlike Verdi, he was always aware of the new ways of composing music. And there was Schoenberg, there was a lot of Debussy, Ravel, a lot of great composers. And from everyone, he is able to learn something. And I hope the public will recognize this. But without betraying Puccini. It is always Puccini, but with the experiences of all the European culture and beautiful new ways, especially the orchestration of this opera is very interesting.
We have to create like a new vision of this piece, respecting all the other factors of it in the past, but using the tools and the personalities and the talents of the artists that you have for this particular production.
Thank you.
thing about Lotfi Mansouri is you try to find these aging directors that can still be kept in work and help them out as much as you can. Now, of course, when you look at his career, it's been a very long one because nobody has woken up to him yet, but we have. And oh, I'm sorry, there he is. Got it.
Because he guessed we were a senior citizen, this guy.